Over the weekend, Senator Lindsey Graham suggested that the president might be open to a slower approach to pulling U.S. forces out of Syria. That's a sharp departure from the president's initial proposal, in which he declared victory.
We've been fighting for a long time in Syria. I've been president for almost 2 years, and we've really stepped it up. And we have won against ISIS.
Last week, in his surprise visit to Iraq, President Trump tempered that statement and thanked U.S. troops not for a total victory over ISIS, but instead for
the near elimination of the ISIS territorial caliphate in Iraq and in Syria.
The second is true.
That's Rukmini Kalamaki, a terrorism correspondent for The New York Times. She's been covering the group for more than 5 years.
We are at the near elimination of the territorial caliphate, meaning the territory that ISIS once held in Iraq and Syria. That's down to 1% of the land holdings that they once had. But that doesn't in any way suggest that ISIS, the terrorist group, which has recruited members from 100 different countries, is itself defeated.
And there's daily evidence that ISIS is still a threat. In this month alone, the group was connected to a suicide bombing at Libya's foreign ministry, the murder of two women tourists who were hiking in the Atlas Mountains, and an attack at a Christmas market in Strasbourg, just to name a few. So I spoke to Rukmini about the American strategy against ISIS and what we know about the strength and organization of the group as we head into 2019.
What we are seeing is a continuation of what ISIS has been doing for years now, which is a combination of both directed attacks that are carried out by people who travel to the caliphate and by people who simply imbibed the group's rhetoric and propaganda online. The difference is that in Europe and North America, law enforcement is now on the ball, whereas they weren't as much so in 2014 and 2015.
Where does ISIS stand relative to other terrorist organizations that are active in the Middle East and across the African continent?
From where I sit, it remains by far the most deadly. It's the one that still has the greatest appeal. It has the most active social media. Just in Iraq and Syria, the estimates that we have from the Pentagon's Inspector General is that the group still retains between 20,000 and 30,000 fighters. To put that in context, in 2010, which is the last time that the U.S. declared this group defeated, the group was down to around 700 fighters, according to the CIA. So this is more than 20 to 30 times that we are seeing now, and yet our leaders have repeatedly tried to say that the group is defeated.
Now, how much of a threat does ISIS continue to be to the United States specifically?
It seems to me that in North America and also in Europe, that law enforcement has now gotten a grip on what the threat was. I think this is because every time that there's an arrest, they grab the person's phone, they grab the person's electronics, and they work backwards. They go through that person's contacts, and they're able to dismantle the networks that are behind these specific attacks. So I don't foresee that we're going to see major attacks in America or in Europe, though what is worrying is that the group is still trying. Strasbourg was carried out by a young man who left a Pledge of Allegiance on his USB stick. He had been identified by French law enforcement as being someone who was a Muslim extremist. They had placed him on a list specifically for that. He had also been identified as a security threat, and yet despite those two identifications, he was still able to go and kill five people in the Strasbourg market.
We also heard that Brett McGurk announced his resignation. Can you tell us what the significance of that was, particularly with this scenario?
Brett McGurk is the top diplomat who was in charge of the fight against ISIS. He's a veteran of three administrations. He began in his role in the Middle East during the Bush administration. During the Obama administration, he became the presidential envoy to the coalition fighting ISIS. And he was considered so valuable in that effort that the Trump administration, possibly not Trump himself, but people around him, kept him on. The fight to get the territorial caliphate back was something that started under Brett McGurk, and it was continued under Brett McGurk. So although he was supposed to retire in February, the fact that he is accelerating his departure is another jab at President Trump. It shows that the highest level officials who are in charge of this fight no longer have confidence in this president.
Does it also signal, though, that our strategy had worked up until now?
I think there's no question that the strategy had worked. The territorial caliphate is down to 1% of what it used to be. And this was a territory that at its height was the size of Great Britain. I myself was one of the people who was particularly critical of the Obama administration's early attempts to take back the territorial caliphate because it was taking so long. So what the Obama doctrine was basically that American troops should not be doing the fighting themselves. It needs to be local partners on the ground, the Kurds in Syria, Iraqi security forces in Iraq, Libyan military in Libya, etc., who are doing the bulk of the work. And this took a very long time to stand up because many of these armies were in no shape to do the hard work. But what was surprising to me is that when that effort finally got underway, and it really didn't get underway, I would say, until 2016, it worked. And I was with the Iraqi military when they took the city of Mosul, and there was enormous pride amongst those soldiers who had sacrificed greatly to take back that city. They felt like they had done that. So they were empowered by that, and they took ownership of that. So it makes sense that the territory that they hold needs to be erased. And that is still not done. They still have pockets of control in Iraq and Syria. But once that is done, we are back to, you know, where this group was a couple of years ago, where it's an insurgency. And at that point, it becomes much harder to fight it. I think that we're still trying to figure out how to contain what is essentially an idea.
Rukmini, your job title at the Times is terrorism correspondent. How has that job changed over the years in terms of how you monitor groups like ISIS?
The big change that happened in 2013, 2014 is that there was an explosion on social media and specifically on Twitter. That was the first time that I made contact with them. When Twitter finally started to crack down on them, and that took Twitter quite a while, it wasn't until 2015 really that they began making a dent in ISIS's footprint online. The group moved to an app called Telegram. Telegram is an encrypted app that people have on their phone, and it allows you to create a room. They call it a channel, where you can have essentially a private discussion with people who have been given the key to this room. And the key is basically a sentence of gibberish. So that's where it is now. You have to have this sentence of gibberish to be able to enter this room. The only way you can get the sentence of gibberish is from somebody who's already inside the room. And they have populated literally hundreds of rooms, hundreds of channels. They themselves are being suspended every day, and every day they're creating new ones. But this is now the nerve center of where ISIS communicates to its acolytes.
Rukmini Kalamaki is terrorism correspondent for The New York Times. Rukmini, thank you for your reporting.
Thank you, Tansina.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.